Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. There are four words in this verse that are actually different, but they are all the same Greek word. That is the first word, let, and then abide, let that therefore abide, and then down toward the end of the verse, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain, and then continue. Let, abide, remain, and continue are all the same Greek word. It has the idea of to continue on. It's also translated endureth, tarry, and dwell. So that word has the meaning of to abide, to continue on, to remain. And we read about the seven churches of Asia that our Lord brought the messages to there in Revelation. And we notice that Ephesus had left her first love. Smyrna was admonished to stay faithful in the midst of tribulation and poverty. Pergamos was admonished because of allowing false teachers. Thyatira was admonished because they allowed that wicked woman Jezebel to teach, and they were admonished to hold fast what was right. Sardis was admonished because they were a dead church and needed to strengthen what remained. Philadelphia was commended because they had kept the word of his patience, and they were to hold fast what they had so they would keep their crown. And Laodiceans had completely gotten off course and allowed materialism to take them away from the truth. So all seven churches we kind of see there, as well as many other messages there, but we can see that the admonition was to stay faithful, to continue in the faith. And it's interesting that all of those churches today lay in ruins. They're all in ruins, and none of them exist today. The admonition was to stay faithful, to continue, as he says here. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. We are to stay faithful and to stay in the Word. We are taught to continue in some things in the Word of God as believers in Jesus Christ. We'll go look at some of them in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 30. John chapter 8 and verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so the admonition to continue, to stay in the Word, to continue to be disciples of Jesus Christ, learning from the Word of God and following the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go back to Psalm 19, we are taught to continue in the Word, to stay in the Word of God. We all know Joshua 1:8, where we're to meditate therein day and night. And in Psalm 19, the Bible tells us about the Word of God here. It says in verse 9, we'll start in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In this passage of Scripture, we see seven ways that the word is referred to. It's referred to as the law. It means it's to be obeyed. It's referred to as testimony. It means it's a witness in verse 7 there. In verse 8, it's statutes. Statutes means a mandate, requirement. In verse 8, it is a commandment. We are commanded. In verse 9, it's referred to as the fear of the Lord. When we live our lives the Word of God, we are afraid to go away from the Word of God. In verse 9, it's also called judgments. And in verse 10, it's referred to as more to be desired. It should be our priority in our life to get into the Word of God. So that's seven ways that word is referred to in this passage. There are seven things the word is in this passage. Verse 7, it's perfect, meaning it's complete. We have it all. Verse 7, it's sure. It's not a fiction book. It's a true book. You can trust it. And verse 8, it is right. It has the answers, the right answers. In verse 8, it's also pure. There are no corrupt texts. It's all the Word of God. In verse 9, it's clean. It doesn't appeal to the lust of the flesh to read this book. It's a clean book. And in verse 9, it's also true and righteous. It tells the truth. And it is right in its what it says. And then verse 11, we are warned. It is a warning to us. And then that's seven things the word is in this passage. And then there's the seven things the word does in this passage. It is, verse 7, converting the soul. Hear the word of God. Come to the truth of the gospel and get saved. Verse 7, it makes wise the simple. It gives wisdom. It used to be that the Word of God was one of the major textbooks in our schools here in our country. And notice how that when we've taken the Word of God out, how education in America has gone down. And so it is makes wise the simple. Verse 8, it rejoices the heart. It'll give you joy to be a person of the Word. And then in verse 8, it enlightens the eyes. It'll open our eyes to see the things we need to see. Verse 9, it's enduring forever. It lasts. It's always available. It always works, and it will always be here. The Word of our God endureth forever. And then in verse 11, the sixth thing, there's great reward. If we get into the Word of God, it produces great blessings into our life. And then verse 7, verses 12 to 13, it will keep us from presumptuous sin. It'll keep us from sin. It'll keep us to be acceptable in His sight there in verse 14. It will keep us away from sin. In Psalm 119, there are 22 times in that chapter, longest chapter in the Bible, that has to deal with the Word of God. 22 times we are to keep the Word. We are to keep the Word. And in Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus there in dealing with the woman who had focused her praise on the wrong thing, it says, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. And then if you look in John chapter 14, we are to continue in the Word of God. That's one of the things we've been taught to continue in, to stay in the Word of God, to read it every day. Best to read it morning and night and during the day if you can. But day and night, the Bible says to meditate therein day and night. And Psalm chapter 1 says the same thing. We are to be in the Word of God. And here in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If we love him, we will be in the Word of God. We are to continue in the Word. We are to stay in the Word. We are to be students of the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. If you look in John chapter 15 here, verse 3, he says, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Down to verse 7. If ye abide, that's the same word that's translated continue there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. If ye abide in me and my words abide or continue in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. To abide in the Word of God, to continue to stay in the Word of God. It is important for our lives, Christians, to be in the Word of God every day. Not just when we come to church on Sunday or Wednesday. We are to be in the Word every day. We are to continue in the Word of God. That is important if we want to stay steadfast and faithful in serving Christ. Look in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I know you're familiar with this one. Some of you know it by memory. For the Word of God is quick. It means it's alive, it's up to date, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is going to get us thinking right. It's going to get us on the right path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Look in chapter 5 of Hebrews here and verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Well, why were they dull of hearing? For when the time you ought, verse 12, for the time when you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, how did they get into this position that verse 13 says? For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. How did they get into this baby-type position with the word of God? Well, he tells us in verse 14, But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, they stay in the Word of God, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so the importance of staying in the Word of God, to continue in the Word of God every day, make it a vital part of your life. Let it penetrate your heart each and every day. Don't just read the Word of God flippantly. Well, I got my Bible reading done today. What did you read? I don't know. I read it, though. That's the way most of us do it. We have to get our chapters in because we feel like if we've got our chapters in, we've done our duty as a Christian. But what did you read? Did you let God speak to your heart? Did you pray that God would open your eyes that you might behold wondrous things out of His law? Did you look to see that you could find something to strengthen your life as you read your Bible today? Or did you just do your Bible reading to do your Bible reading? Listen, we need to continue in the Word of God and let it penetrate our hearts to meditate therein day and night. And then not only are we admonished to continue in the Word of God so that we will remain faithful for the Lord, but we are also here in John chapter 15. Look in John chapter 15, verse 9. We're admonished to continue in His love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Pardon me. And so we are admonished here to continue in his love. And we prove his love by keeping his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John chapter 13, just back a page or two, John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So we are to continue in his love. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that the greatest thing is charity, love. And we are to grow in this thing of love and loving the Lord and loving one another. Hebrews 13, verse 1 tells us to let brotherly love continue. And that's let is the same word as continue. Let brotherly love continue. We are to continue in this thing of brotherly love. Go back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. We are to continue to show the love of Christ in our lives. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. 1 John 3, 17. Here the Bible tells us, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That word dwelleth is the same word that's translated continue and abide. It's the same word there. How dwelleth the love of God in him? We are admonished to continue in the love of God, and when we see brothers and sisters who have need, we should be helping with that need. And sometimes people say, well, you know, I just don't have the means to help. Maybe you don't have the means to help because you don't help. And you know, the Bible tells us, give and it shall be given unto you. We are to show the love of Christ. We are to have a love for souls. Look in Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter, but look there at the book of Jude, just before Revelation. And in the book of Jude, we'll start reading there in verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We should have this love of Christ. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We should have a love for the lost. We are to continue in that. And that we would reach people with the gospel should be our love, our desire. There is a man named John Smith. That's a very common name. John Smith is famous for a prayer that he prayed. John Smith would pray for hours. He was a 19th century circuit riding preacher, and he would pray for hours, and they said they called him the man with the calloused knees, the calloused knees. But he wasn't famous for that. He was famous for what he prayed: God, give me souls or else I die. That's been quoted often and often, that prayer that he prayed it over and over. He had calloused knees from praying that prayer, and hours of prayer and praying with the Lord. I believe that most of us, instead of having calloused knees, we have calloused hearts, myself included. Calloused hearts to the need of the lost around us, to reach out with the gospel. And maybe that's a testimony that our love for the Lord is diminished. We are to continue in that love. You can remember when you first got saved and that first love that you had and how you all your desire was to seek to please the Lord, but then it dies away. We need to keep the love of Christ strong in our hearts and the love for the lost and the commission that we have from our Lord to go with the gospel. We somehow become callous that we don't see that we have a commission from the Lord who loved us and gave Himself for us to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're to be telling people. We're to be passing out tracts. We're to be witnessing. We're to be trying to reach people with the gospel. But somehow, our hearts have become callous to that. Oh, that we would get back to the love that we ought to have, to continue in that love. And then, not only that, but look in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. He says here, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Notice that we are admonished here to continue in the faith even amongst tribulation, even amongst suffering. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this half. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it is, if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator, to continue in the faith even though we face suffering, tribulation, difficulties, and trials. We are to continue. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. So many Christians hit a tough spot, so to speak, in the road. They hit a hard place in the road, and they're ready to give up and quit serving the Lord and get out of being faithful and dropping out of church and dropping out of living the life for the Lord like they should. Oh, we need to stay faithful no matter what comes into our life. And realize that all things work together for good to them that love God and the called according to His purpose. And to realize also in Romans 8:18, where I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And here in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. And notice here, we are commanded or admonished to be faithful even when things don't go well. Even under persecution, even when afflictions come into our life, we are to stay faithful. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul admonished Timothy to continue in the doctrine. He told him to take heed to himself, that he would stay and continue in the doctrine and not get off course. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Did you see that? Deceiving. There's a lot of deception going out there today, and a lot of people getting off course and getting away from continuing in the faith because they've got into error doctrine, being deceived. But verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." To stay faithful in the faith. We are to continue in the faith, not get off course. Stay in the Word of God. It has the answers. And stay with the Word of God. We are to continue in the faith. And then notice Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Here's another thing we are to continue in. Not only to continue in the Word, stay in it, meditate in it day and night, nourish ourselves from the Word of God, let it be our light for our path. We are to continue in His love and show the love of Christ, and don't let the love of Christ die out in our life. So many Christians have allowed the love of Christ to diminish, and they don't have that desire for souls. They don't have that desire to reach the lost. They don't have that much of a desire to be faithful to church anymore. The Lord loved the church and gave Himself for it, and if we love the Lord, we ought to love the church. And the love is diminished. We are to continue in His love, and we are continue in the faith, to stay faithful, grounded and settled in the Word of God, to be motivated by our faith, and to be servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." We are to continue in prayer. Somehow prayer gets diminished in our lives as believers. We don't see the importance of it. We are too busy. We got to get things done. We don't have time to spend in prayer. Maybe that's why we don't have time to get things done as well, because we fail to continue in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, often overlooked, is verse 18 here. It is a part of the Christian armor. I've heard a lot of lessons on the Christian armor, and they usually stop at verse 17. But verse 17 has a colon at the end of it, meaning that it's continuing on. And the Christian armor here in verse 18 is praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So notice that the Christian armor, part of the Christian armor, is to be a prayer warrior, is to be praying. We are to continue in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. These are precious verses here in this Philippians, the book of Philippians. He says, "Be careful for nothing." That means don't worry about it. "But in the place of worry, do this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When you see Christians who seem to get all bent out of shape, and they're all bothered, and they're all upset, It makes you wonder, are they really praying, Christians? Because when we really pray as we should, there's a peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. To be men and women of prayer, that is something that we are taught in the Scriptures to continue in. And you know, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, three times He said it, Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I come quickly." Three times He told us that. And listen what He said each time when He told us that He would come quickly. First time, Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Because the Bible teaches us that we can lose those crowns in 2 John. And if we don't stay faithful, Jesus admonished us to hold fast that which thou hast, to just continue to stay faithful. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7, He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book," to continue in it, to stay with it. And then in Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." So the three times that Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly," He admonished us to continue, to stay faithful, to keep at it, to don't give up, to don't let things take us away. In Matthew chapter 13, if you want to turn there and look at it in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gave us some reasons here why we don't continue. He told us, as He taught the parable here of the sower, Jesus told us here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." If you look at this in the other passages, Mark 4, Luke chapter 8, you see that Satan is mentioned, the wicked one, Satan. There's a reason that we don't continue, is that your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, taken captive by him at his will. And so the devil is out to get us off course, and he will work any way and every way that he can to bring up things in our life to get us off course. Then notice what Jesus went on to say there in verse 20. "But he that receives seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and e'en with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." And so we have suffering, trials, persecutions, temptations come into our lives, and that will get us away from staying with the Lord like we should and doing what we should. And then notice he said in verse 22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world." My, there's a lot of cares in this world. There's a lot of things that need to be done. There's a lot of things that need to be taken care of. There are a lot of things that we have to look after. It seems like that just as soon as you get something fixed, something else breaks down. It seems like there's a lot of cares in this life. But if we're not careful, the cares of this world will get us away from continuing on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said the cares of this life. And then he said, "And the deceitfulness of riches," materialism. Materialism will get us away. Choke the word is what he says, "and he becometh unfruitful." He's talking about fruit bearing here. "And he becometh unfruitful." And so notice that the cares of this world, we can get so caught up in all that we have to do that we get away from being what we ought to be for Christ. We can get so caught up in materialism that we forget the Bible's admonition that give and it shall be given unto you. Many Christians suffer financially because they are so focused upon getting financially ahead instead of following God's principles in the Word of God for giving, and they're not having God's blessing in their life. Materialism has taken over and pulled them away from what they ought to be. And then if you read the other gospel accounts, Mark 4, Luke 8, one of them mentions pleasures. The riches, deceitfulness of riches and pleasures, it says. We get so caught up in pleasure. Got to get that boat, or we got to go camping. We got to get caught up in sports or whatever it might be. I'm not against those things if they're in their rightful place. I don't think God's Word is against those things if they're in their rightful place. But if we're not careful, pleasures can get out of their rightful place and pull us away from having that continuance in the Word, continuance of His love, continuance in the faith, continuance in prayer. Everything dies down in our life and we're not what we ought to be. And then also, one of the gospel accounts here of this parable of the sower mentions lust. The lust of the flesh. It's so easy, the lust of the flesh, to get off course. We get caught up. Yes, Christians do have affairs. Yes, Christians do get involved in pornography. Yes, Christians do get involved in things that they shouldn't get involved in the area of the lust of the flesh. Desire for things and to please the flesh. And that will get us away from continuing for the Lord. The Lord put it here, they choke the Word. They choke the Word. They choke the Word in your life. If you choke the Word in your life, it's going to be a devastating thing for you as a Christian. More to be desired are they than fine gold, yea, than much fine gold. And in the keeping of them is great reward. What a Christian misses out when we choke the Word and we do not continue in the faith. I want to give you one last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. A great chapter that talks about the coming of the Lord and how He will return someday. And remember, He told us, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. Keep, and my reward is with me." In the three areas that he mentioned that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. A great chapter of the coming of the Lord. And he tells us in verse 58, just after he has told us about the coming of the Lord, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be." Stay faithful. Continue. And when He comes, will He find you still being faithful, still serving, still loving, still reaching out to the lost, continuing in the faith, continuing in prayer. Let's pray. Father, every one of us